It was probably the biggest bet ever recorded in the Bible. One Jewish prophet, Elijah, against the 450 priests of Baal. What were the odds? Who would you have bet on? Our first reading today, taken from chapter 18 of the first book of Kings, tells the story of a wager in ancient Cana between two figures, Elijah, one of the greatest Jewish prophets, and the Jewish king named Ahab. Ahab was a proponent of Baal, the fertility god of Cana. This Jewish leader had fallen away from the one God of Israel and fell for the worship of Baal. He and his followers did so with the belief that while they did continue to give some homage to the God of Abraham and of Israel, they also bet on Baal with the hope that the harvest from their fields would be successful. Elijah challenged such wishy-washy belief, one religious and one pagan. And so Elijah raised the question, quote, "How long will you straddle the issue? If the Lord is God, follow him. If Baal, follow him." The actual Hebrew phrase to straddle denotes a hobbling upon two branches. And so they were like a bird jumping from branch to branch. Elijah called such faith for what it was, a lack of real commitment to the one God of Israel, whom he and we believers of today call Yahweh. Ahab, calls Elijah the troublemaker of Israel. Elijah retorts that Ahab has abandoned the tenets of Judaism, and so he calls for a wager by means of a contest between belief in Baal and belief in Israel's one God, Yahweh. So the bet is on. Imagine, if you will, the contest. Ahab gathers 450 priests of Baal to perform rituals so as to call down the fire of God to inflame an altar of sacrifice of a bull. Despite what appears to be immense odds against him, Elijah is confident and even cocky. He even taunts the Baal priest when their rituals fail. Listen to the way Elijah taunts his opponents. Quote, "Call louder, for he is a god and may be meditating, or may have retired, or may be on a journey. Perhaps he's asleep and must be awakened." Unquote. Well, as the story goes, the Baal priests failed to stir up their god. Then Elijah did his part. As the scripture states, quote, Prophet Elijah came forward and said, "Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant and have done all these things by your command. Answer me, Lord. Answer me that this people may know that you, Lord, are God, and then you have brought them back to their senses." The Lord's fire came down and consumed the burnt offering, wood, stones, and dust, and it lapped up the water in the trench. Seeing this, all the people fell prostrate and said, "The Lord is God, the Lord is God." Such is the story how Yahweh, Elijah's God, and the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob manifested a powerful presence over Baal, and how against the odds, Elijah won the bet against Ahab. This passage about Elijah's bet on Yahweh represents for us today not just a story of an ancient commitment of faith. As members of the Jewish Christian tradition, we too are challenged not to straddle fences or hop like birds among branches, believing the gods of a culture in contrast to the one true God. This past Friday evening, I witnessed a common belief in the revealed and active presence of one God. At the invitation of Rabbi Bruce Lustig of the Washington Hebrew Congregation, I, along with a group of other interfaith religious leaders, shared in a Shabbat service focused on the themes of healing, of hope, and of solidarity. Coming in the wake of the tragic killing of George Floyd and the subsequent demonstrations, this service was meant to bring us together through our shared belief in the one true God. We represented Jewish, Muslim, and Christian congregations. In the Zoom room provided by Rabbi Lustig, We pray together through song and reflect upon readings from various texts. And there were hundreds of other believers together in that Zoom room. One highlight of our symbolic solidarity in the Shabbat service came through reflections towards healing and hope given by Rabbi Lustig, Imam Magid, and the Episcopal Bishop Marian Budding. As local leaders, faith leaders, they helped us through the find a deeper belief in the one true God, the God of Abraham, and the God of Elijah. Another sense of solidarity came through the passage I was asked to read from the 12th chapter of Mark, where Jesus affirms the great commands of the Jewish Torah. As the scripture stated, "And one of the scribes came up and asked him, 'Which commandment is the first of all?' Jesus answered, 'The first is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with your entire mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.'" Friends, a belief in these two great love commands can unite us to love God, to love our neighbor. It does give us a greater sense of unity, and helps us through these lenses to see what has been going on in our nation, in our world, in these difficult days. Through these lenses of the two great love commands, helps us to walk our talk. In recent weeks, much has been discussed and demonstrated how best to love God and to love neighbor. When so much prejudice towards our neighbor, especially our black brothers and sisters, does exist, in believing in the two great commands, we can believe more deeply and live more affirmatively and justly, to believe and act, to speak and advocate that black lives do matter. It seems, folks, that a contest is happening in this period of history. The question is, how do our beliefs match our actions? Do we not only love God and worship the one true God, do we also love and see dignity and justice for our neighbor, for all peoples, regardless of their race, religion, gender, sexual orientation, or social status? Are we not, like Elijah, called to believe in the one true God who calls us to love our neighbor and ourselves? Friends, are we willing to bet our lives on it?